This passage from Isaiah this morning offers us one of the parables of the unfruitful vineyard. The speaker, who may be heard as the creator, tells the story of a beloved man who prepares a field and plants choice vines, but is met with defeat. Wild vines, unfruitful plants, no crop but what is useless. The teller of this tale explains that the Lord is that planter, and the people of Israel were planted and cared for so that they would succeed and bear good fruit. These parallels aren't very subtle, and we understand that this is clearly a warning story for us. We'd better get rooted in and develop the skills and products that will be of service, of use to the one who planted us. And in case we miss the point, the voice of Isaiah explicitly explains for us, the vineyard is the house of Israel, the vines are the people of Judah. Isaiah tells the people of Israel that they are failures and not worthy of God's favor. They are unproductive vines. Then the psalm we read today asks God's forgiveness, expresses a hope for a restoration of God's favor and protection. In this psalm, we people are the vines, we are the vineyard, preserve what your right hand has planted, is what we beg of God. This powerful metaphor of vines and grapes then is referred to again in today's gospel. The forces of denial and the forces of salvation are in conflict. And Matthew's story establishes that salvation has been given to those who will cherish it with thanksgiving, and those who damage it or each other will be denied. I suppose as Californians we have some advantage with the imagery of the vineyard. We know what vineyards look like. We may even have seen failed ones. When I first lived in the Bay Area, coming north from a part of California where successful vineyards were rare, I found a wonderful beauty in the vines. They look so frail and spindly, then they flourish into heavy and lush rows of fruit-bearing green. It's easy to imagine what a fruitless and drab space might look like if it did not bear fruit. None of today's readings is obscure nor subtle. Yet what the lesson tells us is not easy to do. And I presume that's why we hear this kind of story over and over in the Christian scriptures. Be thankful for the things you have. Care for them. Reject actions that are destructive. Give thanks. And if God or fate or circumstance places you in a position of guardianship or supervision or labor, then commit yourself to the positives of life and safety and love. All of us have some power or jurisdiction over someone or something. We may not think of these commitments and relationships as religious or godlike or especially holy, but the processes and successes of human life, of family, of community, are parts of the vineyard we've been entrusted with. Don't comfort yourself in the idea that these stories are about grapevines, and you don't have any anyway. The letter to the Philippians and Matthew's gospel are in fact written to you and to me and to everyone here and beyond. What could our world be like if we loved our neighbors? If we shared good things? And work to eliminate bad things. The hope of such a world has unimaginably been sustained in the church or by parts of the church, and each of us can feel some obligation to hear these admonitions and letters, not to the people of Philippi or Rome, but as the lyrics to a song or a poetic lament about loss or fear, but as life-saving advice to us. Why do we hear the same stories over and over, year after year? Why do 1,000 preachers every week try to attach the lives of sermon listeners to the words written down so long ago in a different language, for a different audience, in a different country with a different life, a different occupation, a different place, and a different culture? Because the message is so simple that we can't believe that's all there is to it. Love God. Love each other. You can't build a worldwide organization on that, can you? Would it do any good? Stay tuned.